Sorry guys, we're late.
It's okay.
I think someone needs to close that. It's open.
Hi. You know, I always thought, anything can happen at McDonald's. Because, you know, first thing is, it's everywhere. And second thing is, you don't know what they put in their food, you know?
Oh.
But this was an interesting case recently in Baltimore. There was a transgender woman, and she got physically beaten up by two girls who were 18 and 14 because the transgender woman used the women's restroom. And
wait, beaten up by 18 and 14 years old?
Yeah.
So how old was the woman?
The transgender woman?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she was young, though. She definitely wasn't old. But,
okay, wait. Transgender woman, you mean, like, a male? Or a male
who was a male who became a woman.
Through surgery?
Yes. Okay.
And what happened was the 18-year-old girl got charged for assault later. But there was a McDonald's employee, and he recorded this whole thing, and was, or I don't know if it was a she, and they were laughing while they were recording it. And so that person got fired, obviously. And if there wasn't a customer who interfered, it would have continued. And
beaten up, like?
Yeah, like they dragged her hair across the floor, and they like kicked her in the face
and
everything.
14-year-old.
And an 18-year-old, yeah.
But 14-year-old.
Yeah, so, you know, what I noticed is, like, these days, there is discrimination, but the metrosexual and homosexual community is getting larger. And I kind of wondered why that's happening. And, you know, what does the Bible say about people who are up for same-sex marriage?
I think it is kind of touchy subject to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say it straight out. I am against homosexuality.
Just, I think we all are.
Yeah, yes, but, you know, like, some people, you know, go around, and of course, as Christians, like, we should be accepting and, you know, loving to everyone. I'm not saying, like, oh, I'm gonna do the same thing that as those girls did, you know, like, beating them up, but, you know, like, even in biblically, I have to say, like, I am against it 100%.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of a controversial subject because
kind of.
Well, the take on many people is that, you know, if God is a God of love, then why can't God love us the way we are? And It's like, if we are supposed to be Christians, shouldn't we be showing love to those who are different? And so I think a lot of people who are pro-gay take that stand and take that approach and saying, you know, if a man and a man and a woman decides that they're going to genuinely love each other, why not let them? And that's looking at it from a non-biblical perspective. And it looks all nice. It looks all kind and good. But looking at it from a biblical perspective of what God says, you would have to lean towards, if you go by what the Bible says, you would have to go toward and lean towards no gay homosexual relationships.
They're basically saying, like, it's just like, if God, if God is, you know, loving God, why can't he save everyone? That's basically what they're saying. And I don't think that makes sense. Like, even though he's a loving God, there are certain ways he wants us to be. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to follow that, you know, that character that he wants us to be.
Yeah, one thing that I've learned about, I learned through life, is that there really is a difference between the way that God made a man and the way that God made a woman. Mm. Not only physically, I'm not only talking about physical characteristics of what we can see, but even the way that we are made, the way that we think, everything is different. Mm-hmm. And all of those characteristics have a way in placing each one of us in certain roles that we are to fulfill. Mm-hmm. A man is supposed to fulfill a certain role, a woman is supposed to fulfill a certain role that a man cannot fulfill. And so once we cross those lines and ignore those gender boundaries, we begin to start merging these roles together, and that's what we see today. We see because we want to non-discriminate to the point where we actually ignore gender totally, now we see a lot of things that a woman, I'll give you one example. I use this example a lot of times, but for example, military. When we're talking about military service, let's say you're in hand-to-hand combat with a man against a woman, nine times out of ten, hand-to-hand combat, the man would majority of times win against a woman. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because God made man to be to have more muscle mass and weigh more and have more
labor working.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Because the man is the one who actually brings home the bread, or so to say. And
now, but you know, in society today, you know, people are very up for equal rights. Mm-hmm. And when you say that, some people might be like, "Oh, offended." Women, especially, mm-hmm. you know. They might be like, what do you mean? Are you saying men are stronger than women? That's not necessarily true, right?
No, but it is scientifically proven that, you know, men are physically stronger than women.
I think they need to look at it in like a mature, reasonable point of view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think when they say that, it just seems like, you know, I just want my rights kind of thing. Yeah. But, you know, they need to be mature and really look at it in like a both side of point of views and be fair.
You know? And not just that, like, you know, some women think that, oh, you know, because we're physically, you know, weaker than men, you know, they think that, oh, I have much more disadvantage. I guess you could, because, like, men could just, like, hold you down and, you know, rape women. And that's, like, you know, a lot of crimes that's going on around the world. But, you know, there are more advantage in women's body and, or just, not just body, but like in many ways,
mentally,
mentally too. Mm-hmm. Like women are very more advantaged than men, and you know, like it is. They say, you know, because women are in education now, where they couldn't have been in long time ago, you know, history. Mm-hmm. But like now, I hear most of the graduates from college are like women. Mm-hmm. It's not men. So like. It is kind of like scientifically proven or statistically proven that women are smarter than men.
We can also
multitask.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
To Einstein. Yeah.
here's the thing. Like, men generally tend to be good with spatial perspectives, as in like reading maps. Mm. I said this before, but. Men have to steal place in their minds.
Okay, that is wrong, because this guy does not have it, for example.
Yes, I do, on things that I want to.
Okay, never mind, never. Oh, well, actually.
I've always said that men have kind of a steel plate, which now you know why when you try to communicate with a man, it seems like they're not listening.
Yes.
Yeah. What'd you say? Right? It's a steel plate, right? But it serves as a map, and it serves as a compass.
Good excuse.
Okay, but that's okay. That may not be the real reason why, but then men do have a better sense for reading maps than women. It's generally true. Like, for example, you're reading a map, a woman usually has to turn it around so that they would know which direction to turn. From here, do I turn left or right? But a man can just look at it and say, oh, you go this direction. Men generally are better with maps because men can visualize things a lot better.
I'm just saying we are trying to go with a theme here, and then now you're just trying to prove that men are better math readers.
No.
Okay, let's go back to
Okay, well, let me just say, men have some advantages, but women, that the reason for that is because men are very strong in left-brained tasks. Mm-hmm. Things are very logical. It makes sense, mm-hmm. factual. Mm-hmm. Men are good at that. Women usually don't have a dominance in one area or the other. It's usually simultaneously going back and forth, mm-hmm. laterally brained. And so women communicate back and forth with a centered brain. So women can be doing one thing that's totally creative and at the same time be doing something that's totally logical at the same time. While men, usually when they're fixed on something, they're really fixed on that.
So you guys have somewhat of an advantage too, right?
So you're just trying to prove that women are different from men.
Yes,
you know?
Women are different
from men. In many perspectives.
Yeah. So not to say that one gender is better than the other, but to say that women are different than men, men are mm-hmm. different than women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you know, God, in biblical perspective, like, you know, God did not... this is something that like my Bible study school teacher have told me, like he have taken have taken Adam's rib to make a woman. Mm-hmm. Now if God had taken somewhere in like the head, you know, here, then it would have mean that women are supposed to be higher than men. Or if like they have taken something out of the leg or like below, then it would be like, then women are supposed to be lower than men. But she said because like it was taken out of the rib, which is like equally there, like they're supposed to be meant to be equal for God. I don't know if that is true, but like that's what something she said. And like I honestly don't think if God did not have a purpose for women, why would he create them in the first place?
And he needed a woman, even though there was God. He was facing God face to face. And he felt all the love from God that you could ever feel. Mm-hmm. And he still was longing for someone.
Yeah,
happened was that God was the originator in saying that, it's not good for man to be alone. Adam didn't even realize that he was alone until God said, it's not good for man to be alone. But hey. Let me make Adam start naming the animals. And as he began to name the animals, he started noticing, wait a minute, all these have pairs. Where's my mate? And then that's when he realized, I'm alone. Yeah, I need a helpmate. Uh-huh. And so God first decided it's not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. And then he created a helpmate for Adam. Mm-hmm. And so it is true that there is a purpose and a reason why God created woman, which a man cannot fulfill just by himself.
Yeah. My dad always said, like, God was not bored, that's why he created men and women. You know, there is always purpose for you.
Yeah, so, you know, going back to seeing sex and marriage, because we are on limited time, America was founded on Christian principles in the beginning, and it is written in certain constitutions that same-sex marriage is not allowed. Proper marriage is between one man and one woman, which is ideal in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But how do we explain then, how do we as Christians say what is true marriage, or how do we say you know, one man, one woman is ideal, but how can it, you know, I am not homosexual, so I don't know how, if you could control that feeling or not, or like how do you restrain yourself from liking the same sex?
Well, I think that, like, first of all, for true marriage, if I have something to say to that, that God made Adam and Eve, And then the book that you gave me, like, it told me was that, that for you or for every individual, that you have your own Adam, you have your own Eve out there. But right now, people just start to date whoever that they, you know, like. And then, oh, you know, I like that person, you know. And then they started to, like, I don't know what is that called in English, but, like, you know, we call it in 호감 in Korean. It's like, oh, you know.
Oh, like interest?
Yeah, interest. Yeah, interest. Mm-hmm. Like, it shows a little interest. And then they get to know each other. And then they date. And then, you know, sometimes, like, many cases, I guess, it goes into, like, you know, some things that we're not supposed to do, like, you know, physically, sexually, you know, having relationships, you know, even though they're not married. Mm-hmm. So, like, that something is, like, I think is bad in first place. You need to, you need to have your, there is your own Adam and Eve out there in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the true marriage is in the Bible. Mm-hmm.
So can you, how do you control that? I mean, there are Christians who might be gay and maybe, you know, how do they control that feeling?
I think it's, if we try, since we are all heterosexual, if you try to put ourselves into the situation of homosexuals, imagine yourself trying to refrain your feeling of liking the opposite sex. So that's how they feel. But then there are some people who really, because of their upbringing, they're attracted to the same sex. And that's, they really are. It's not like they're faking it or whatever. They really are attracted to the same sex. Well, how do you do that? Well, the Bible doesn't, I'll say it this way. There are Christians who really recognize that this is a sin. Homosexual practice is sin. Even though they are attracted to the same sex, they recognize that and they pray to God and ask God that they will change. By God's grace, there have been some people who actually have changed. Mm-hmm. And they started out liking the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. But then there are other people, and I really do feel for them, who never got that. Mm-hmm. They just didn't find any attraction with the opposite sex.
Even though they prayed to God?
And so, you know, for as long as they remain faithful as a Christian, they remain single.
Then what about people who are transgender? People who surgically have... get surgery done to change into a different gender.
Well, now I don't think that itself is actually something that we can excuse. Somebody who is gay but is a Christian, mm-hmm. but who is not practicing homosexual, I can understand and I can sympathize and I can pray with that person and you know, not condemn them or anything. Mm-hmm. But for somebody who chooses out of their own will to change their own sex, to go against nature, that's not the way that God made you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't change that. Remember, going back to what we were stating before, God made us differently, men and women differently. I'll take one example. Women generally are more sensitive. Yes. Men generally are more logical, right?
And stubborn.
Yes, stubborn and more logical. And so when it comes to the home life, when it comes to the family, the man is the one who leads and makes the decision in the house. Why? Because if the woman makes the decision in the house, what ends up happening? Because of her emotions going up and down, not being so stable, the decisions that she may make at that time period may not be the correct decision. Whereas a man, regardless of feeling, many times the man will make a decision that will be still the same whether he feels good or not. On the other hand, you take that same logical mind and try to bring up a child with that, just with that logical mind. No sympathies, no emotions involved. And child comes to daddy and says, "Daddy, you know, I got a F on the test." What would the dad say? well, son, if you would shape up a little bit and study a little bit more, then you wouldn't have to deal with this. But the child doesn't go to the daddy. The child goes to
mom,
because mom will say, oh, I'm sorry you did that. Or
here's a cookie.
Yeah, here's a cookie. Why don't you try again next time?
I feel like it could be different for each household, because, you know, there are many households these days where the woman is a dominant parent. And, you know, there are even some dads who are stay-at-home dads and the mom goes to work. Mm-hmm. And in that case, most of the time, like, I have a friend who, you know, her mom is the one who is like the dad, who's like, if you get a bad grade, you know, you need to study more. While if she goes to her dad, the dad sympathizes and is like, it's okay, you can try better next time. Is that a household then that is not grown up of Christian principles, or are they doing something wrong?
Now, I want to make a disclaimer and say there are men, these are the extremes that I brought out. Mm-hmm. There are men who are very sensitive, and there are women who are very logical. And so it's, you blur the lines, but then you can make an extreme and say men usually are more logical, mm-hmm. women are usually more sensitive. Mm-hmm. But then there will be times when it's opposite, because they're so close, they cross the line so much. Mm-hmm. But then still, because of the way that God still gave certain characteristics to men, mm-hmm. Another example, studies have shown that men usually are more physically aggressive than women. Men usually are attracted to violence, you know, Rambo and, you know, kind of movies and things, while women are attracted to, you know, dramas and things like that. Men generally are more physically aggressive. Why is that the case? Well, the man is the protector of the family. Man is the one who, whenever the family's in danger, man usually steps up to the plate and, if need be, become physically aggressive to whatever the danger is. God had placed that in man. Mm-hmm. Another characteristic that that my wife complains about is, I'm a workaholic. And so the reason why God gave man the ability to work, is because man is the one who brings home the bread. Man is the one who supports the family. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain characteristics that men have that women don't have, and there are certain characteristics that women have that men don't have. And when we cross those lines to the point where they're totally opposite, mm-hmm. that's not according to nature the way that God had intended.
Mm-hmm. And not just talking about characteristics, like, just because you had a surgery for, like, mm-hmm. transgenders, you cannot become 100% the opposite sex. Yes. It is not possible. It is just not possible.
I know. I remember I was watching some science program. But it was about transgender surgery. And I remember there was this one boy who was very sensitive, and he had a very high voice. And, you know, he would get teased about that and bullied. And it ended up that he started to feel like, oh, I feel like I get attracted to men. Mm-hmm. And so this boy, because of the bullying and the teasing, he was like, maybe it's better for me to just become a woman. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, after he did that surgery, his life was a lot happier and he had more friends. Now, mm-hmm. could we use that as an excuse? If it's a case, an extreme case, like something like this, where it leads you to not commit suicide or something, or go into depression, could we make that as an excuse? I mean,
I don't think there is any excuse. You can make excuses mm-hmm. about what you shouldn't do according to the Bible, but yeah. that's just an excuse. You really could step it up and then change.
Yeah, I think the focus of his happiness was dependent upon his environment. When in reality, as Christian, if he were using Christian principles and if he were a Christian, then he would, regardless of circumstances, mm-hmm. he would still find his happiness in Christ.
Yes.
And so if he is looking at from biblical perspective, after he got the sex change, was he genuinely really happy?
Just like,
I would question that.
Our happiness and the secular things.
Yeah.
Like, after maybe you become the richest person in the world, mm-hmm. are you really happy?
Exactly.
It's just like that, I think.
Another question, I guess. You know, there are a lot of Christians who, you know, would just rally up together and start protesting about same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And they would sometimes be very ignorant and start yelling in front of
And disgusted.
Yeah, and they would start offending these people, and these people get hurt. And, you know, and it kind of makes them turn off of Christianity even more, saying, you know, you say God is love. You say you're supposed to be like Christ and love one another. But, I mean, it is wrong, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be honest, people these days are very prideful, where if you say you're wrong, they get very offended.
Mm-hmm.
But if we genuinely love the person and really want them to know God and follow what he's saying is, how can we tell them without offending them?
Mm. It's just like how Jesus dealt with them, maybe rebuking. I remember reading somewhere that Jesus, when he was dealing with the disciples, he would be direct and he would say, you know, this is wrong. Because disciples actually came to him wanting to know what's wrong with me, wanting to know how can I become perfect and how can I become Christian. So he was very direct,
mm-hmm.
because they could take that. But now when it comes to other people who, I guess, could be seen as sensitive or like who wasn't really longing for that, but you know, they were interested to know about Jesus, they were interested to know to become Christ-like, he dealt with them very delicately, not straight out saying no, but like going around and telling them what they need to know and then stuff like that. So I think if you really do love that person and wanting to change that person, you don't rebuke, like straight out protest and stuff like that, go up in their face, say you're wrong, this is not how you should live. If you really care, if you really want them to change, you would do it with love and more carefulness.
I think even if you might, at the moment, you might feel that, oh, you have talked to them in love and care, they might still could get offended. That is possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time for some people, and it's just, you know, like, and then, of course, like you have to pray a lot for yourself and Holy Spirit to be there when you're talking to that person beforehand.
Mm.
And also, like for me, because I get, you know, like I think that in like Jesus's way, it is like really, it is better for us to wait for them to come if they really think it is wrong, if they really realize this is wrong. Or they want to know what's wrong, then it's better to wait than you know, going to them, approaching them. But I can't understand in, you know, like in your point of view, let's say your family member is, you know, homosexual,
or be hard.
You know, or your child, or you know, your brother or sister, then you know, you do want to tell them. You do not want them to go to the other direction, which you know that it is wrong. Then you know, I suggest you that you should like pray a lot. You know, you should pray a lot before you go, and really, you know, ask for God's grace and Holy Spirit.
There is always the perfect timing that God always makes it happen, I think.
And I have a question. Like we discussed that there are roles for men and women, and that women and men are different. But biblically, is there like specific verses that we can show it to, like, you know, homosexual people that, you know, in the Bible it is wrong?
Homosexuality, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, there's a one time I was doing Bible work around this one town, and I came across this this gentleman who began to question Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
And he himself stated that he was not a Christian. But then he said, he began attacking many of the Christian principles, and he said, you know, I heard that the Bible actually says that it's not okay for man to be gay, but Bible says nothing about women.
Mm.
I actually had to disagree because I remember reading this verse. This is Romans chapter 1. Verse 25. It says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature." Now, it sounds like, Paul could mean anything from there. Mm-hmm. But then you read on in the next verse, it says, verse 27, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was made."
How direct can it be?
That's very direct.
So I guess during Paul's time, that happened too. Yes.
Well, just Paul's time.
So it's been around. It just didn't spontaneously come out of nowhere because it's modern day.
Right. Even when we look at nature, we haven't even been talking about proving it from the Bible, but just looking at nature, the way that men are, the way that women are, nature just goes to show that men are to be with women, not with one another. Mm-hmm. But then looking at it from biblical perspective, you can see why. Also, another thing, I'll show you one other way that we can look at it. Galatians chapter 5. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22. Now, a lot of people don't like reading this part, but then I'll show you if there's anybody who struggles with this. Looking at it from the way that Paul puts it, I think it's a lot easier. Let's take a look. Verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And a lot of women say, submitting to a husband. No way I'm going to submit to another man. But let's read on. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." And so the same relationship that a man has with a woman is almost the same relationship that Christ has with his church. Wow. And he says that just as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it, men, you're supposed to love the woman just the same way.
Give yourself, sacrifice yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And so, this is a little bit off topic, but my finding has been that when a man genuinely really loves a woman, and the woman was never really interested in the man in the first place, if he genuinely does love that woman, eventually the woman usually does, eventually liking the man because of this. The Bible doesn't tell the woman to love your husband. Reason why? Because it's almost natural. Why is adultery usually common with men? Because women usually are more dedicated to the man than it is for man to the woman. Mm-hmm. Much in the same way, God tells to the man, if you love the woman, if you really love your wife, she will submit. It's almost natural. We're going a little bit off topic, but I've seen older women who haven't gotten married. They find their fulfillment in serving people. Reason why is because they don't have a husband to serve.
That is so true. Because I know a Christian woman. I mean, she's a lady. She's working as a... I don't think she wants to be a pastor, but she wants to be some kind of like a evangelistic missionary. And... She really likes working with the children, and she really likes to serve church. Mm-hmm. And, she finds joy in it, and I could really see that. But she just never got a chance to get married, so I think that is really true.
Yeah, it's true. women do find their fulfillment and happiness in serving people. Yeah. Mm. And so that's why it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. But then it goes on to say, the same relationship that Christ has with the church is the same relationship that man has with a woman. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, verse 24, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And there's the verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, it sounds like he's giving marriage advice, doesn't he? He's telling husbands, love your wives, women, submit to your husband. But he's not talking about that. What is he really actually talking about? Verse 32. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Again, it sounds like he's talking about man and woman, but he says this. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And so he was ultimately using the relationship between husband and wife as an illustration to illustrate the relationship that Christ has with the church. And so in the Bible, a woman is represented by a church, or a church is represented by a woman. Christ is the man, the bridegroom. Well, if you try to mix that up and say man with man, woman with woman, what are you actually doing? You're perverting the gospel in that typology.
So could we go to an extent saying that, you know, same-sex marriage is a sin?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, I remember that in the Bible it says that in the end of the times, it will be as the time of Noah and Lot. And, you know, in the time of Noah, I remember sexual perversion was one reason of the corruptness of men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because the homosexuality community is getting so much bigger and so much more power, could we say that can be another sign of the end is near?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. It, you know, just a few years ago, you know, even a decade ago, if you're talking about same-sex marriage, if you're talking about homosexuality, it was very unpopular.
Mm-hmm. It was shunned.
Yeah, people would have to almost literally be in their closets. And that's where that phrase came from. He came out of the closet. It's because they were shunned and they were in a closet. They were hiding. Mm-hmm. But now they're coming out, and now you have whole gay communities who are proud to be gay.
Yep.
That would never have happened, you know, just a few years ago. But that's such a rapid change. Such a rapid change. I think it's one of the indications and signs that this is one of the, this is the last days.
As we finish, I just want to go back to when Hee-jun said about true marriage. So, you know, same-sex marriage is not biblical at all. And as Christians, if we are earnestly wanting to be doing God's word and abiding with his word, we can pray and really ask for his power and strength to overcome, you know, this urge. And, you know, I just want to, you know, for people, for true marriage to occur, it has to be one man, one woman, but also it has to be as Christ is with his church, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's one of the indications that tell us the days in which we are living in. There are other Christian principles that we have broken, such as the distinction between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a clear distinction in the way that we dress, the way that we do our hair, the way that we act and everything. But because those lines have been blurred, what ends up happening is homosexual community starts to come up and rise up stronger. And we're looking at the world and saying, what exactly happened?
Mm.
Well, all of that started as a ricochet effect. So when we look at this kind of community of homosexuals becoming more dominant, we can only conclude one thing. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in
the days of Noah.
Yeah, during those times. So it will be even just before when Jesus comes.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Something to think about.
Yeah, I didn't want to at the beginning kind of mention Sodom and Gomorrah because, you know, like, it is kind of a sensitive issue, you know, for homosexual people. Where, like, Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to them? You know, in the end, what did it say? I want to quote the Bible exactly. It said, like, the Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and the fire from the Lord out of the heaven. So ultimately, it was, you know, just death and destruction for them. So I didn't want to mention that because, you know, like, oh, you're gay, you're going to die, you're going to get destroyed by God, you're going to be condemned. You know, that's not what I want to say. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, that God did say, if you love me, then keep my commandments and keep, you know, keep the word of God. So I have to suggest to homosexual people that, you know, we really have to pray if you're Christians and you really have to go with the Bible, you know, go with the word.
The trick would be to love the sinner but hate the sin.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. That's good, right?
That's good.